This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
After Zoomies at the dog park, it's time for Drive Up at Target. In goes a big bag of kibble and one squeaky chicken toy for the good boy. Drive Up that's ready when you are. Only in the Target app. Just tap Target.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here we go again.
What was your draft night like?
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Michael Jackson died on the day I was drafted.
The Atlanta Hawks select Jeff Teague.
So everybody was at my house crying.
They were at your house and you're
getting
ready.
They should have been crying for me. I'm about to change my family's life. They're crying about Mike.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, Cincinnati Reds manager Terry Francona. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, hour two of this program on the air here on this Friday. It's a What's More Likely Friday. We're going to play that in hour three. It's going to be a fun third hour. There's no guests in it. It's just us.
Just us hanging
out. We're about to play the latest edition of Who Wants to Be a Hall of Famer.
That's setting the internet on fire, too.
Is it really?
Oh, people are in their feelings for some reason.
People are in their feelings.
we'll get to that in a second. Let's go to the phone lines. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone lines. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Let's go to Terrence in Cleveland. What's up, Terrence?
Terry.
Rich. How are you doing?
Oh my God!
Is it Barry White?
I was about to say,
voice Terrence, of God,
Terrence. That you had me at hello. What's going on,
Rich? People will come, Rich. They'll come to Brook Park for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll turn up on Snow Road, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at the stadium as innocent as children, longing for the past. Of course, we don't mind if you buy season tickets. The Haslams will say. It's only $20,000 for a PSL. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it, for it is money they have and division titles they lack. And they'll walk out to the dog pound and sit in shirt sleeves in a perfect indoor climate. They'll find they have reserved seats somewhere in the 500 section, where they sat when they were children and cheered their heroes. And they'll watch the game, and it'll be as if they dipped themselves in magic waters. The memories will be so thick they'll have to brush them away from their faces. The one constant through all the years, Rich, has been Brown's dysfunction. The NFL has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But Brown's dysfunction has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Rich. It reminds us of all that once was good and it could be again. Oh, people will come, Rich. People will most definitely come.
Wow. Unbelievable. Terrence in Cleveland going Field of Dreams on us to talk about the new Brown Stadium that's apparently Terrence. Being built.
All right. Wow.
Well done, Terrence.
Thank you, Rich.
Well, thank you, Rich.
You're welcome.
That's a drop.
You know what? I guess, for the Guardians or... Maybe the Cavs when they're back, you can call in as Burt Lancaster and give us your thoughts on the season.
The doctor now?
Yeah. Well,
I could give you my Morgan Freeman impression if you'd like.
You what?
Is Morgan Freeman.
My Morgan Freeman impression.
All right, Terrence in Cleveland.
Please do.
It's the last Thursday in June. Why not?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Cheryl Sanders came to Cleveland in 2025 on a four-year stretch to play QB. That's quarterback to you. Front office caught him playing well for his father out in Colorado. Young punk. Mr. Rock and Roll. Cocky as hell. Well, I liked him immediately.
Wow.
Wow. Terrence, you are phenomenal.
Wow. Terrence, really good.
Rock.
Really good. I muted my mic so I wouldn't laugh.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
I know. The audio guy's the one guy who didn't do it. Jay Farrow of the Rich Eisen Show fan base. That was incredible. Thank
All
you,
right, Terrence.
Terrence, well done.
Yes, enjoy your weekend.
Call back.
With the other characters.
Wow, that was amazing. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was. I know where we were going with that, but man, I was here for the ride.
So he did James Earl Jones discussing the Brown Stadium, and then Morgan Freeman about the drafting of Shedeur Sanders.
From the beginning of Shawshank.
From the beginning of Shawshank.
Wow.
Wow, that was amazing. That was
phenomenal.
All right.
I mean,
Joey in Bakersfield, you got to
good luck.
You got a high bar, pal.
You What's better up, come Joey? Correct.
What up? How you doing?
What's on your mind, Joey?
I wanted to predict the Niners season.
Oh, like win-loss? You want to do win-loss for the Niners?
Yeah. Can you do it as someone's voice?
Yeah. No. Character? Any character?
Joey in Bakersfield. Oh, can you do Joey from Friends? Instead of you can say wins, you say how you doing?
How you doing?
Okay.
How you doing?
Of course. Hey, Joey. Okay. All right. Give Joey some music here. Win-loss game. This is a fourth 49ers one yet.
Oh, okay. Right.
Awesome. Okay, okay. Joey in Bakersfield, California. What happens when the season opens in Seattle?
We get a win.
That's a 1-0 start at the Saints.
Win.
2-0 home for the Cardinals.
Loss.
Ooh.
We have problems at home against them.
I know. That is true. 2-1 against the Jaguars at home.
Win.
3-1 at the Rams on Prime Video to kick off Week 5 Thursday.
That is a win.
That's a 4-1 at the Buccaneers.
Ooh, that's a loss.
4-2 home for the Falcons.
Win.
5-2 at the Texans.
Loss.
We're 5-3 at the Giants.
Win.
6-3 home for the Rams.
Win.
Sweeping the Rams at Absolutely. The Cardinals now.
Win.
8-3 home for the Panthers on a Monday night.
Win.
9-3 at the Browns.
Loss. We have problems in Cleveland.
Okay. 9-4 off the bye, home for the Titans.
Win.
At the Colts.
Win.
11-4 home for the Bears.
Loss.
Oh. Home for the Seahawks.
Sweep. Win.
That's 12-5. Joey in Bakersfield. Thank you, sir.
Hey, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Hey, and you make football better.
Thank you.
Rich, thank you for everything.
Hey, Joey, I appreciate that. It sounded like you meant it, and I'll take it. That was very genuine, and you caught me off on that one. Thank you. I appreciate
it. Enjoy your weekend.
I appreciate that and agree. All right. Joey in Bakersfield, Mike in Long Island had him 12-5. Terzo in Iowa and our friend Joshua Jackson, 11-6.
Realistic.
I like that sweet spot, 11 yep. wins.
11, realistic. You think so, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Now, many of my ideas come from staring at the ceiling in the middle of the night because I can't go back to sleep. I'm in my mid-50s now. Now 56 years old. What can I tell you? I don't know where this one popped in my head. I just thought to myself, what we talked about on the show earlier in the day, I forget who it was, but we're like, if somebody doesn't play again, is that person a Hall of Famer already? Doesn't matter if they're played 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 10 years, 11 years, their body of work to this point in time, would they be in the Hall of Fame if by fate they're not allowed to play anymore or by choice decide not to play anymore? And you're saying in the first three cracks at it in two segments. We did it with Aaron Judge and Ohtani together to kick things off. First pitch it. And then yesterday we did our first player from the NFL and Josh Allen. You're saying it's lit up the comment section.
Oh, yeah.
Comments are hot.
They're hot. And I mean, there are a group of commenters who understand what we're doing here and are Correct. Giving legitimate, like, yes or no. And then there are always the group who just want to get mad and be like, you guys are idiots, because they're not really understanding what we're doing.
Okay.
But the people that are into it, yeah, they're into it.
Okay. I like that. And we have our first NBA player for a segment that we're referring to as Who Wants to Be a Hall of Famer?
Who wants to be a Hall of Famer?
Is that your final answer?
Thank you, Regis.
We love production value.
We're clapping for our own production
value. I love Regis. I'm clapping for Regis.
I don't think that was Regis.
No?
It might be. That would have been hard.
No, that's not Regis.
To get Regis.
What I'm saying, is that your final answer?
It's a Regis imitation. That's not Regis.
I think that's Regis.
I think it was our last caller doing a Regis impression.
That's Regis. Not a chance this is Regis Philbin. Not on planet.
Who wants to be a Hall of Famer?
Is that your final answer?
That's Regis.
That's definitely Regis.
That's 100% Regis.
We literally just pull a clip from any old episode.
I don't think it is.
That is Regis.
Yeah. Not to get too deep in the weeds here.
Okay, we're good.
Let's move to our actual, today's contestant for Who Wants to Be a Hall of Famer is none other than the Dallas Maverick of note, because he used to be a Los Angeles Laker. The throw-in in the Luka Doncic trade.
Wow. That's how they treated that man, though.
Hey,
that's how they treated him.
I mean, in the pocket listing. Anthony Davis, 32 years old. Let's give you his resume, everybody. Regular season averages. He's 9 for 17 on average in a game. The 9 field goals made per game is 20th all time. In terms of rebounds per game, 10.7 rebounds per game. That's 35th all time. 2.3 blocks per game. 14th all-time ahead of Shaq and Tim Duncan.
You know.
Yeah. He averages 24.1 points a game, which is 26th all-time.
Nice.
Over 27,000 minutes. His field goals made, 7,100. That's 74th all-time. His 8,416 rebounds, 70th all-time. He's 25th on the all-time blocks list of 18-15, and he's just shy of 19,000 points in his career. 10-time All-Star, 4-time All-NBA First Team, 3-time All-NBA Defensive First Team. 3 times he's led the league in blocks, and we all know he won that one title. And he's only one of 2 players to average at least 24 points, 10 rebounds, and 2 blocks throughout his career since they started counting blocks in 1973. The other player is named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And he made the NBA's 75th anniversary team. I'll go first. He's a Hall of Famer. And I came into this segment thinking, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I really did. I when I thought to myself, is this guy, if he doesn't play another game, if he decides to, by the way, could you imagine making that call to Nico Harrison? Hey, Nico.
Hey, you know what?
Harrison does not like this segment idea right now.
I think I'm done.
Could you imagine how that would play?
That is the worst case.
And at that point in time, Jason Kidd would call up the Knicks, say, ask for me again. Call up and ask for me again. But don't you think, right?
I think without question, he is a Hall of Famer. No doubt. You mentioned 75th anniversary team. All of those guys are in or will be
in. There's not one that isn't, correct?
No, he doesn't
because
have.
They're not.
He doesn't have any actual hardware in terms of MVPs or Defensive Player of the Year awards. He probably should have won at this point, TJ, a Defensive Player of the Year award. He is so underrated as a shot blocker, rim protector, rebounder, defensive player. Look, I don't really count their bubble championship, but he was awesome in the bubble for the Lakers and probably the main reason that they ended up finishing that off over Miami. Without question, Anthony Davis, Hall of Famer.
You agree?
I mean, you just look at his stats. In addition to all the stats you guys said, 8th player to win an NCAA title, an NBA championship, and a gold medal. Mm. Six of the previous 7 are in the Hall of Fame, and only he and Michael Jordan are on that list to actually have 2 Olympic gold medals. He's won a title at all 3 levels, including a FIBA World Cup championship. He was the number 1 pick, 10-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA, 5-time all defense. And the thing about the NBA Hall of Fame is they take into consideration everything, not just your pro career, but your high school career, your international career. So based upon all that, he's absolutely going to go into the Hall of Fame.
It's the Basketball Hall of Fame.
And they're a lot more lenient than the Major League Baseball or the NFL when it comes to their Hall of Fame.
29.6% three-point shooter as well at his size in his career, right? I mean, I think that's the first consensus we've had,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And I kind of feel like we're probably going to get more consensus on NBA players than any other player in any other sport.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. But the standards that their Hall of Fame have are just a little bit lower compared to, you know, Cooperstown and Canton. So.
But I honestly thought to myself, is this guy really a Hall of Famer? I don't think so, but let me see the numbers, and the numbers support it.
That's funny you say that. Like, your eye test maybe says no. In a weird way, do you think he's underachieved in his career?
Well, obviously the Pelicans is one thing. The Lakers, he did win a title. And I just need to say it because whenever you say it, I do offer the pushback. In this same way, we always say you can't come up with the schedule. Right? The schedule is made for you. You got to play who you play when you play him. And if this other player is injured, that other player is injured, and this opponent's less than, then you beat that player. They beat that team.
Yeah.
You can't sit and say, well, that team.
In front of you.
You have to play who's in front of you and beat who's in front of you, and you can basically say, well, who did this team really beat? Well, they beat the teams they're supposed to beat, so you have to give them credit for that.
Or they beat the team that was supposed to beat
the Lakers. The Lakers didn't create the pandemic.
Do we know that?
No. I know.
Wow.
The Lakers didn't create the pandemic. Everybody else had to play by the same standards.
Same rules.
It was beyond out of body, out of sight, out of mind. They did it. You could make the case it was the most difficult championship to win of all time. Away from their families, you have no idea what the hell's going on in the world. Don't forget, that's when the world was exploding outside of the bubble, too. There was even conversation about not playing games because of what was going on in the real world.
It was just a weird time on Earth.
That said,
that year they had the oldest roster, and their top players were the older players, and they benefited from 3 to 4 months rest. That's all I'm saying.
Regardless, is to say underperforming? No, I mean,
has his career been underwhelming? I mean, you think that based on your eye test that he wasn't a Hall of Famer, right? And then you looked at the numbers and all the metrics, and you're like, oh yeah, definitely he is.
Right. Especially, I guess it's an eyebrow test.
Yeah.
Hey,
look at you.
Thank you. So Anthony Davis, congratulations. Well, you don't have to play anymore.
It was unanimous.
That would be insane if that happened for him in Dallas.
Yeah,
let's take a break. Terry Francona is going to join us next.
Love it.
The Cincinnati Reds skipper. He is, as you know, the manager of one of our favorite players that we've been talking about since day one, Elly De La Cruz. Man, the man has managed Elly De La Cruz and Michael Jordan, right? And gave you duck boat parades.
Oh, they're dead.
Terry Francona next. Let's talk about coffee, people. If you're like me, your day cannot begin until you've had your first cup. Whether you're gearing up for back-to-back meetings, shuttling kids back and forth to activities, tackling an endless to-do list, your morning sets the tone for it all, and the perfect cup of coffee sets that tone, crafted just for you. Enter Trade. Trade is my number one U.S. coffee destination, bringing you fresh coffee from over 50 of the country's top roasters. Trade's experts have taste-tested thousands of coffees to curate over 450 amazing roasts. Just take their quiz, and under a minute, they'll match you with your perfect coffee. If that first bag isn't quite right, Trade will replace it for free until they nail it. And if you're headed out on summer vacation with Trade's subscription flexibility, you can pause or shift delivery while you're away and resume when you're home, ensuring you'll come home to great coffee, iced coffee, too. So, right now, Trade is exclusively offering our listeners 50% off your one-month trial at drinktrade.com/Eisen. That's drinktrade, TRADE.com/Eisen for 50% off your one-month trial. drinktrade.com/Eisen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more.
Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
With a Venmo debit card, you can Venmo more than just your friends. You can use your balance in so many ways. You can Venmo everything. Need gas? You can Venmo this. How about snacks? You can Venmo that. Your favorite band's merch? You can Venmo this. Or their next show? You can Venmo that. Visit Venmo.me/debit to learn more.
You can Venmo this, or you can Venmo that. You can Venmo this, or you can Venmo that.
The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. pursuant to license by MasterCard International Incorporated. Card may be used everywhere MasterCard is accepted. Venmo purchase restrictions apply.
How happy is our next guest made you, Chris Brockman?
I don't think you could put a number on it. 2004 was one of the greatest years in the run in October that I've ever had.
I mean, he's a new skipper of the Boston Red Sox, right?
Yeah.
And
that team, I think, brought me more joy than
the 2004 Red Sox.
Than any team that I've ever rooted for.
All right, let's bring.
And we've had a lot of parades.
Let's bring on the manager of the Cincinnati Reds that we're referring to right now, 2.5 games back in the wild card, right now in the National League, getting set to take on the Padres tonight in Cincinnati. Terry Francona, how you doing, Terry? Good to see you.
Rich, great to see you. Thanks for having me.
I'm sure you've heard that from people from the greater New England area, your entire existence, right, Terry? Pretty much.
Yeah. You know what? It was a pretty cool thing. There's no getting around it. I'm pretty good about moving on and staying in the moment.
Right.
But I'd be lying. Those 4 days when we came back against the Yankees, they're probably my four funnest baseball days of my life.
And, do you, when you see Dave Roberts, do you ever talk about it? Those moments? When you see Dave?
Are you kidding me? Every time I see him, I hug him. truth be told, yes. I probably would have got fired. And, you know, I know ownership had kind of drafted a letter of apology to all the fans for our showing, and it wasn't a very good mood around the ballpark. And then a week later, we all could have run for mayor. So I think you got to keep things in perspective. But every time I see Davey, we laugh about it.
Now, when did you come up with the idea of letting him take a base, Terry? Or did he do it on his own? Or what happened there?
We talked about it. We actually had talked about it in Anaheim in the first round of the playoffs. And he couldn't get a good jump. He was fighting to do it, and he couldn't do it. So we kind of met down in the runway before the inning. And we had Millar and Billy Miller there and Dave. And I said, Millar's going to get on, and then this is what we're going to do. And we were possibly going to bunt if Dave couldn't get a jump. But Millar had swung the bat so well against Mariano. He's one of the few guys that did. And I know as I was talking to Dave, Billy Miller's eyes are like, hey, man, give me one thing. Like, you got nine things going. And then when Millar walked and Davey left the dugout, I just winked at him. And that was in my way of telling him, go get it, big boy.
And I love that you bring it up when you're handing out lineup cards against the Dodgers or anytime you see him. That's pretty cool, man. Awesome. Look at that moment right there. Dave Roberts. That's Jeter, by the way, who turned 51 the other day. You want to feel old? Derek Jeter's 51 years old, man.
Yeah. I already felt old, but I still wouldn't feel good if he was playing shortstop for a team because he's kind of the ultimate guy that, one of the greatest kids in the world. And then when you play him, he wants to, rip your heart out, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right. Well, you got a pretty damn good shortstop of your own right now, Terry Francona. I'll be honest with you. Obviously Ellie's arrival predates yours there in Cincinnati. I'm wondering when you're getting offered the job and you're thinking about coming back and being a manager, is he a reason why you're like, I will manage the Cincinnati Reds, Terry?
Not exclusively. I mean, I'd be kind of fibbing if I said I wasn't excited.
Right.
Because of, the youth and what he can do and I think what he's going to do. It was actually a couple things. One, it was the youth of our whole team.
Yes.
Which I like, especially our pitching staff. And then, truth be told, when Nick and Brad came out to my house, we kind of talked about this job. I was sitting in my rocking chair. And it just felt right. About a half hour into it, I caught myself saying, we could do this, we could do that. And I'm like, whoa, slow down. and it felt good. I like going through things with people that I respect and care about and know they're going to kind of have my back. I felt that way in Cleveland, and I felt that way here. And I think I made a really good choice.
Yeah, I guess that's my fault for bringing up a specific player like Ellie De La Cruz to a manager to say, you know what, there's one guy. Obviously, it's a team effort. I totally understand that. But this kid had me and everyone here at Hello. He just has such a freakish abilities in the, obviously, the most positive way to use that word. Is there a comparison, if you don't mind me just focusing on him for a second, because I am such a fan of Ellie De La Cruz, of anybody that you've seen before, Terry?
You know, Rich, I get it. I mean, you know, I'm new here, or fairly new here. And even like, you know, we're going to Boston Monday, and my grandkids want to talk to him. That's he has that allure. You know, I had heard about it before I got here, but I don't know if I've ever seen that. I mean, MJ's the one, but when this kid walks out into the field or into the dugout or somewhere, everybody goes crazy for him. And I think it's a combination of his talents, you know, the way he plays the game, and then his personality. Like, you just look at him, the way he carries himself, you can tell he's a good kid. And I mean, it comes shining through. And to me, that, you know, when you couple that with the talent he has, that makes him pretty special.
Yeah, and just again, his speed and everything that he can do to help change the game. How has your team improved between game one to game tonight against San Diego that you've seen, Terry?
Well, I think we're getting better defensively. That's one of our biggest is, and again, some of it's just by the good fortune of having like McClain back and Friedel back healthy. But we're trying to not everybody chases offense. We try not to chase it so much where we put ourselves in a bind, because we think we have good young starting pitching. And if you put them in a, you know, behind the eight ball, you end up chasing your tail a little bit. So we're trying to make things reach offensively while not hurting ourselves defensively.
Then I guess, how has the game changed since game one you managed with the Phillies to game tonight against the, you're laughing, but I mean, obviously things have changed. Yeah. Including my own hairline, because I was doing SportsCenter highlights for your Phillies back in the day. Now here I am all these years later. But how have things changed between that day and tonight's game, Terry?
When I got hired in the winter of 96,
right,
there was a general manager and an assistant general manager. Now there are baseball ops people. I mean, and it's a good thing. The game is evolving. There's more information. I think as a manager, you need to know, like, what to sift through, what to take, what not to take. Because if you take 50 different ideas that are coming at you and you try to use them all, it's going to be chaos. But, and again, you know, I do enjoy when somebody has the ability to make me kind of maybe second guess the way I was thinking or try something. I actually enjoy that. But it has to make sense to me. I'm not just going to do it because it's on a piece of paper.
But how does that manifest itself during a game, right? I mean, you've got information in front of you, or it's downloaded. Like, are you going to have a meeting after this interview, or you already have, about tonight's Padres lineup, second time through the order, third time through the order? It just seems to me like righty-righty versus lefty-lefty is so damn quaint. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a million different nuanced stats that are placed in front of you prior to one single game, Terry, right?
And again, if it's not applicable during a game, it's not really going to help. So
right.
The guys here are great. They give me the information. I have this lineup card here.
Yep.
And I have it filled out on the front and back. Once I have this card filled out, I'm ready to go. I can relax. I can enjoy the day because I feel like I'm prepared and I know what I want to do. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. But like I said, once I feel prepared, I can relax and start to enjoy the game.
Terry Francona, Cincinnati Reds manager here on the Rich Eisen Show. You mentioned MJ before, sir. For the kids in the back, that's Michael Jordan you're referring to in terms of superstar status, right? That's how you're referring to Ellie De La Cruz in terms of level of interest. But Jordan's different. What was Michael like when he first walked into the clubhouse, when you were the skipper for him in the minor leagues, Terry?
I would have a hard time ever finding something negative to say about him. I mean, I remember it was kind of fashionable at the time to get on him about playing baseball. And, you know, the first thing I mentioned to him when we got to Birmingham was, hey, these guys have worked really hard just to get to the double A level. This is the amount of money they're making or not making. And, you know, what we're doing, you got to respect the game of baseball. And my goodness, I don't know if I've ever been around somebody that respected the game more. It made it easy to be patient with him baseball-wise because you had to because he hadn't played. But he worked hard. He was knowledgeable. He was coachable. And you know what? It shouldn't be surprising because I don't think you can be that good in another sport without having those traits and characteristics.
Is there anything off-field that he did that you can share where you were beyond impressed? You're like, wow, that is something I didn't expect from Michael Jordan. I didn't see that one coming. Anything like that, Terry?
You know, I think once I got to know him, I saw everything coming. Like, it's hard to do anything with him or, you know, against him where you're not competing. I mean, whether it's ping pong, tennis, golf, certainly, Yahtzee. It
nice.
Didn't matter. And he didn't like to lose. And that's like all the stories you've heard, they're true.
Yeah, all of those stories. Like on the bus and stuff like that? Is what you're saying? Pretty much?
Yeah, you know, I found out. It took me a while. Because, you know, the Southern League back in the day, there were some long bus rides.
Right.
And they weren't steeper buses. You know, it was sometimes two to a seat. And they were long. And I'd look at him, and he seemed so content. And it took me a while to figure out that was probably the first time in years where nobody could get at him and he could actually relax and either listen to music or read a book or play cards and nobody could get at him. And he really enjoyed it.
I love that, man. And last one for you on this one. What was he naturally great at and what was he working on that if he somehow, some way, by the grace of the sports gods, decided to just stick with baseball, do you think he would have been great at? Terry?
Well, even early on before he played a lot, I mean, he stole 30 bases, you know, in the Southern League. He drove in 50. You know, he was so long levered that he was always working on trying to keep his swing short. And he, you know, when he went to the Fall League, he was drastically improved. I don't think it's fair to talk about any prospect till they get about 1,000 at bats. But I'll tell you what, Rich, and I found out sometimes the hard way. You tell him no, and he's going to find a way to make the answer be yes. And I believe that in baseball, too.
Terry Francona, a few minutes left with the Cincinnati Reds skipper here. And then while we're in the Wayback Machine, let's go back to Boston. So when you arrived there, it was Big Poppy's second year there. What was your first interactions with David Ortiz like? And did you know that he was beginning to just break out? He kind of did break out in the year before your arrival. When you arrived, it started a run for Big Poppy that will end in Cooperstown, as we all know. Your first interactions with him and what you saw when you got there, Terry?
Couldn't have been better. I mean, this guy was off the charts. And to me, before he was probably David, you know, before he was becoming Big Poppy.
Right.
And I enjoyed that actually probably more. He was kind of a go-to guy. You know, there were several guys, like, you know, Veritek. I mean, there's a lot of guys on that team that I don't know if people realized how solid of baseball players they are. You know, like Johnny Damon would run into the wall, you know, hair flying, and he'd text me in the morning, I think I can play. You know what? And then he did play more often than not. I mean, those guys, Millar, the stuff you saw with Millar, it was real. It was meaningful. We had guys that just really liked to play baseball. And when the game was over, if we lost and they're trudging up to the clubhouse, it wasn't because they didn't get hits. It's because we lost. So, again, there were some characters, but boy, they had some character.
All right. And then, again, hitting the Wayback Machine considerably, I've got a photograph of a Cincinnati Red. I'd like you to help me identify who this person is. Can we pop it up on the screen, guys, if you don't mind? For Terry, who is this Cincinnati Red we have to see on the screen here?
Looks like my little brother. That's like half of me. obviously they didn't, I didn't spend enough time on the way in the weight room. God, that is unbelievable. Like,
yeah,
it's like half of me. No wonder I couldn't hit the ball very far.
No, you look, you were staring down the pitcher, whoever that was. Looks like you were staring.
No, I was staring down the cameraman, and it was in foul territory because I wasn't playing very much.
Yeah, you'd have been great with the pitch clock. You were making eyes. You know what I mean? Like you wouldn't have got one of these back in the day. Who was on the Reds when you were there, Terry? Who was on that team when you were on the Reds?
Let's see. Barry Larkin, Kurt Stillwell was a young, good team. Eric Davis, Tracy Jones, Bo Diaz was a catcher, Ronnie Oster, Buddy Bell. It was a mix of veteran and young guys. And truth be told, I was the weak link. Nick Asaski had gotten hurt early in spring training. I started playing. I think I got like amnesia, like I forgot how to hit. And it bothered me because I think Pete really looked out for me and wanted me to make the club, and I felt like I let him down, and it bothered me for a long time.
And for the kids in the back, the Pete is Pete Rose. What in the world was he like as a manager, Terry?
Well, you got to remember, I played with Pete in Montreal. Right. So I don't know how many people can say they played with him and for him.
Wow.
So he was my teammate 3 years earlier. And you can't find a better teammate. I don't care where you look. And I know that's documented. This guy is the ultimate teammate. So playing for him, I wanted to do okay because I loved him. I revered him. And I, like I said, I didn't do very well, but he never gave up on me. Probably could have released me a few times. Never did. I would have tried to run through a wall for him.
Yeah. I mean, and now, I mean, what is it like for you to, again, you played with him, for him, and now you've succeeded him in the position, in a way, for the Cincinnati Reds. And I don't know if you walk past the statue of him diving for, you know, home plate with the Pete Rose hair. I mean, what goes through your head? Do you ever stop and think about this stuff? I know you like living in the moment, as you say.
I do, but I got actually in my office, you can't see it. Yeah. I got a picture of Pete hidden. I got a jersey. I got a ball. I got a bat.
Love it.
You know, I know there's some miscues along the way. I'm aware of that.
Right.
And I'm glad I never had to be part of the process because I would have never been able to not be biased when it comes to him.
Right.
Because I revered him and I still do. And when they had the Pete Rose night and his family, his kids and grandkids were here, I was front and center just watching and listening and smiling. It was great.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And obviously the history and the pageantry of the Cincinnati Reds that you're trying to bring back and bring a title there to Cincinnati like you did to Boston, obviously. Twice over, and I also can't help but notice you're making you're already at home. I saw this online the other day. I want to ask you about what this chair is. That from your boat, Terry? Is this what you're sitting on it during the games right now? Is this what's going down for you?
Brad, Nick, the guys, you know, my bosses here. They asked me how my legs were doing because I was standing because I can't see. If I look through that screen,
yes,
I feel like I can't see the game, so I got to stand over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, my legs get a little tired. And they were like, well, get a chair. Well, I need to get a chair. I'm not going to kill myself. Or, you know, I had one of those, a little smaller version in Cleveland, and it actually broke a couple times, and nobody ever laughed at that as I fell backwards, you know, during the game. But this one's kind of the Cadillac version, and I've only had it for two nights, but I love it, man. And trying to see, like, if they'll let me, instead of walking to the mound, just, you know, cast out and, you know, get the picture.
Like, instead of a hook, you actually have an actual hook? Like, is it, you when you hook a player, you just cast it out and hook the player? That's
and, you know, I don't know who did it, but the other day when I went out there was one of those captain's hats sitting on the chair. So, you know, I tried it on, and I think everybody thought it'd be funny. The bad part was I think I ended up looking more like Max Patkin than probably a boat captain.
The clown prince of baseball with a reference right here. I love it, Terry. What a blast, man. I'm so happy that you took the time, obviously, on a game day. Best of luck tonight and down the road, and look for more of my calls to have you on. It's just a pleasure. Everyone at ESPN still talks glowingly of your time when you were there, and I've obviously been covering you for forever and a day. What a pleasure chatting with you. Thanks again, Terry.
Mitch, thanks. Everybody there was so kind to me, and everybody helped me because I got lost every day there. So everybody helped me get to my car. It was actually a fabulous experience. Thanks for having me. I enjoy watching you on the NFL, man.
Thanks, bud. I really appreciate that. It's Terry Francona taking on the San Diego Padres tonight in Cincinnati, the great American ballpark, Cincinnati Reds in the mix in the National League and the National League Central right here on the Rich Eisen Show. That was a delight. Guy, obviously, I know Big Poppy's in Cooperstown now. But,
yeah.
But it's pretty cool, man, right?
Pretty cool.
Yeah, he and Dave Roberts gives him a wink. I mean, I didn't reveal that that made me very upset.
I imagine.
As a New York Yankee fan.
You know, in real time, I thought he was out. You know, I remember thinking, oh, gosh, he's out. Now what are we going to do?
Now what's going to happen?
And, you know, and
so
obviously
they
it wasn't.
They were making up a letter of apology, huh?
To
the city of Boston.
I mean, obviously, remember the 03 was the Boone Game 7, the ALCS, and then there's a lot of expectation coming into 04. Nomar gets traded. There was all the A-Rod rumors in the offseason, and then, you know, you kind of circle in the drain a little bit. And, of course, now it's 3-0 to your rival. Geez, could this end any more disastrously?
And the curse was still in effect.
Still in effect. And it was just going to keep going. You felt like it was never going to end. What a run.
Jordan. Played for Pete Rose, played with Pete Rose, succeeded Pete Rose, managed Michael Jordan, Big Poppy. He's a Hall of Famer, right?
Oh, I would say no doubt.
How is he not?
Oh, yes.
I would say no doubt.
Correct, right?
I think so. About bias?
I mean, you want to do it here?
He's had an amazing manager. I mean, his playing career.
Hold on, I've got it right here. Pop. There we go.
Who wants to be a Hall of Famer?
Bonus.
Is that your final?
No, bonus. Very good. Two-time World Series champion is a manager of the Red Sox. Three-time AL Manager of the Year. Winningest manager in Cleveland history. Cleveland history. By the way, do you know he managed there 11 years, Chris?
It did not
seem
that long.
It was 8 years of the Red Sox, 11 with Cleveland.
He should
took him from the Indians to the Guardians.
Should have never left Boston, but...
Five division titles, three AL pennants, 11 total postseason appearances. He's going for career win 1,993 tonight.
Wow.
It's close to 2,000 wins.
Yeah, there's only, I just looked it up. I was thinking the same thing. Only 12 managers with 2,000.
How many are in the Hall of Fame?
Wins. All of them except Bruce Bochy and Dusty Baker, and imagine both will
go
be
in.
Whenever they're
done. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
He just passed Casey Stengel recently. Obviously, he's in the Hall of Fame, so.
Yeah, we just spoke to a Hall of Fame manager.
No doubt.
100%.
No doubt.
He played for the Expos, Cubs, Reds, Guardians, Indians, and Brewers. That photograph of him is a Red.
I mean, that's great.
That's fun.
It's like his son.
All right, great production value, everybody. And I've been told by Mike Hoskins that is, in fact, Regis Philbin's voice.
Who wants to be a Hall of Famer?
Is that your final answer?
I mean, that's 100% Regis.
All right.
Summer's here, and Nordstrom has everything you need for your best dress season ever. From beach days and weddings to weekend getaways and your everyday wardrobe, discover stylish options under $100 from tons of your favorite brands like Mango, Skims, Princess Polly, and Madewell. It's easy, too, with free shipping and free returns, in-store order pickup, and more. Shop today in stores, online at Nordstrom.com, or download the Nordstrom app.
Savor every last drop of summer with Starbucks. From bold refreshers to rich cold brews, the sunniest season only gets better with a handcrafted iced beverage in your hand. Available for a limited time. Your summer favorites are ready at Starbucks.
It wasn't a
doubt. I stand corrected. Everybody back off. What's the matter? What was it like shooting that scene, though, with Ray Kinsella and his father? I mean,
you notice that we did that at Magic Hour. You also noticed that when that shot pulled back and you saw all those cars, you know, now, but that would have been CG'd. But that was technically, that was all extras that we called on the radio, come be in our movie, and they created that big traffic jam.
Hold on a second. So that traffic jam,
that's a real shot. And the people from Iowa came and so many people feel like they were part of that movie. So those thousands and thousands of cars that were in that giant traffic jam that went out on those two lanes, that was real.
But in terms of playing it, in terms of, as you said, the quiet moment, how did you work that, Kevin?
Well, what I did was I went back to when I first read it. And so I become the audience when I read it. And when I read it, I went... I couldn't believe that it had orchestrated itself to that thing, and I had that feeling on the couch. And so I knew if I played that straight, if I didn't wink at anybody, mm-hmm. that these players did come, you know, that's my corn. You know, Phil Robinson is the architect of that movie. You know, I tell a story, you know, and I don't tell it well often, but you know, they kept coming after me. I wasn't going to be able to do that movie. I was going to do Revenge, and I got into Revenge kept getting pushed, and finally I had to put my foot down and say, look, if you don't get this movie together, I'm going to go do this movie in the corn. I asked the director, why did you hold out for me so long? Why? And he said, well, and this is one of the greatest actors we've ever seen. He goes, they wanted me to do it with Robin Williams. And I said, Robin Williams is perfect. He said, yeah, but when I think of Robin, I think he does hear voices in the corn. And I don't want that. People don't believe you hear voices. And that was a really interesting, that's a director that makes a save. That's a Mariano Rivera, you know?
Sure.
It's a save. He saved his movie because of his belief in an idea. You know, not the quality of actor, because Robin Williams will never.
Of course,
this is a guy so special, but I was curious. I said, he's actually a bigger star than me, whatever. And he goes, I need somebody that you don't think hears voices,
and that would be you. I've never heard Robin Williams was considered for that role. That's unbelievable. And then you did it, and obviously we're talking about it today.
Yeah. It had gold dust on it when I read it, because I did that little intake of breath. Do you want to have a catch? And of course, I wept myself.
The great Kevin Costner and all of his multiple appearances of The Rich Eisen Show can be checked out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. That was just a blast, man, right? Like a baseball man, right? Through and through. Player, manager, Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no doubt.
Ellie De La Cruz, baby.
Oh, love Ellie De La Cruz.
Truly, when Coop and I did our fantasy baseball draft, where we just drop into an ESPN fantasy league just to do, we don't know anybody in it. Although we had his friend Ryan join us this year. Anyway, long story short, we were like, who do we want to come out of this draft with? Obviously, Judge was one of them, but our draft position wasn't good enough for that.
Did he go one? He probably one or two, right?
Ohtani went one. Oh. And then, because everybody thought that he was going to pitch too, which is true. Then Judge, we wound up with Ellie De La Cruz. We wanted him. Let's go to Oscar in Boston, Massachusetts. Oscar. Been holding on for almost 2 hours. What's up, Oscar?
Good morning, fellas. How are you doing?
What's going on, man?
Good, man?
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm hoping to do the win-loss game for the Green Bay Packers.
Are you from Wisconsin?
No, but my dad is.
Okay, so you're a Packer fan sitting there in Patriot country.
Nice.
Yes, indeed.
Understood.
I can also root for the Patriots.
Okay. You give him some music here. The second win-loss game of the Packers that we've conducted. So we haven't done too many of these. Glad to have a cheesehead. Tell us what happens at home against the Lions in week one. What a week one game that is.
I'm excited for it. I think we are going to lose that one.
Okay, an 0-1 start with the Commanders coming into Lambeau to kick off the Amazon Prime season. Week two, right away.
We're gonna go 1-1 and beat the Commanders.
That's a quick bounce back right there. 1-1 with the mini bye going into Cleveland week three.
We're gonna win that one too, right?
That's 2-1 at the Cowboys.
Yeah, we own the Cowboys, especially at AT&T. Sorry, TJ.
Are you aware of that, TJ? The Packers own the Cowboys?
I'm going to have to do some research.
Okay, Packers don't have owners, but they own the Cowboys.
That's a Sunday night game, by the way. That's a Sunday night game for the whole country to feast on. Off the bye now, 3-1 against the Bengals.
Yeah, I think with the extra rest, we'll be able to take care of them, too.
That's a 4-game win streak now at the Cardinals.
We're going to keep that win streak going, Rich.
5-1 at Aaron Rodgers' new home and the Steelers on Sunday night.
It would be a great story if Rodgers were going to be able to beat the Pack, but he won't be able to.
That's 6 wins in a row going home to take on the Panthers.
Let's make it 7.
7-1 home for the Eagles on a Monday night.
they will take care of business, and the pack will lose, unfortunately.
End of the 7-2 at the Giants.
We will win that one.
8-2 home for the Vikings.
It's a toss-up. I think we're going to lose this one.
Oh, boy. 8-3 at the Lions to kick off Thanksgiving.
We will get our lick back and win this one.
9-3 home for the Bears.
And I think we'll lose that one, unfortunately.
Oh, 9-4 at the Broncos. These are twists and turns here. Mm.
I don't have a good feeling on this one, but I'm going to be optimistic and take the W.
10-4 at the Bears now.
We will get our game here. We'll win.
11-4 against the Ravens at home.
Yep. I think Lamar's got us. I'll give it to them.
11-5 at the Vikings.
And we will win this one.
12-5 says Oscar in Boston. Son of a Packer fan. There we go. Thank you, Oscar. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
We're going through pretty that win-loss game. Again, remember when we were talking to Mike North, the executive in the NFL, who's one of his main job of his big job is the schedule, right? And he's like, well, we can do Eagles Cowboys on opening night and Chiefs Cowboys on Thanksgiving and supercharge the big spots rather than hold those back as the pieces of filet mignon they usually are. Reason why we could do that is because there are so many other big games that are on the schedule to give to Fox and CBS for contests.
The ribeye.
To take in on a Sunday or to put on a Monday night or put on a Sunday night as well. Packers Lions, Packers Commanders, Packers Cowboys, Packers Bengals, Packers Steelers with Aaron Rodgers, Packers Eagles, Packers Broncos, Packers Ravens, and then there's their division games. The Packers are must-see television with a brutal schedule.
Yeah, looking at that schedule, they could easily start 1-3 heading into the bye week, and it's kind of panic mode because they are in a tough spot playoff-wise.
They are home against the Lions. They are to kick things off. But again, like I said, they're playing the NFC East and the AFC North. And the NFC North is already, as I said, maybe the toughest this division has ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, you know, so we're going to see them. Late window CBS, Lions, Packers. Didn't Nance say that's what he's doing? When he came on after the schedule release? So late window CBS, country will see that. Then 5 days later, it's the kickoff of the Amazon Prime Video season.
Man.
The Commanders at the Packers. Then 2 weeks later, at the Dallas Cowboys for Sunday Night Football. Then, after their bye, late window CBS against Joe Burrow and the Bengals in their house. Then 2 weeks later, they're on Sunday Night Football with Rodgers in Pittsburgh welcoming the Packers. Rodgers versus Green Bay. What a massive football game that is. And that's now 7 games into their schedule. There's a Monday night against the Eagles in Lambeau. And then the meat of they play the Lions to kick off the season. They don't play another division game until November 23rd, the week before Thanksgiving, on which they play another division game and then another division game. Then they have a sabbatical from their division at Denver before diving back in against the Bears, another sabbatical home against the Ravens, and then diving back in to finish the season at the Vikings. Holy crap.
Those last 6 games, yikes.
Green Bay schedule, that win-loss game, as I'm going through it, I'm like, damn, we're going to see a lot of the Packers. The whole country's going to be watching because it is must-see television. And they've got their work cut out for them.
What's more likely, they go 12-5 or 5-12?
12-5. I think so. I really believe it. I know you're looking at the schedule.
I'm looking at that schedule.
No way are they 5-12. They are a damn good football team who is a damn good coach.
I get it.
Who, you know, right?
I'm a fan. But as you know, that's hard.
And one thing that Matt LaFleur wanted, he won't choke and he won't cramp.
He stays
hydrated.
You know what I mean? Hydrated.
There's no way
that's
they're going
one
5
guy
and 12,
that's never going to cramp under pressure.
Not going to happen.
We didn't think the Niners would go 6-11 last year.
Well, that was aided by a lot of injuries.
Aided by injury. Ton of injury.
They don't have, you know, insane injuries.
Or wow, the Packers season.
I don't know.
I'm charged up for it right now. Yeah, that guy's not cramping. First round pick.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room listening to this podcast? Wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.